Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm so thrilled to have an amazing guest coming up on the Up Your Brave show. Next up, I'm talking to Greg Briers. We are going to be talking about creating change in our body and life by changing our mind. Greg is an author, a life coach, a speaker, a massage therapist, and more. He has an incredible story about how he changed his life. He has worked all over the world, and he's now living in Vienna, Austria. And it's 3 a.m. during our recording. Yeah. So for you, not for me. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Natalie. Yeah, I'm really quite excited to be on this.
Well, I'm so impressed. I think you and I met on Facebook. Maybe you commented on one of my posts or something like that. We had some synergy. We ended up messaging each other back and forth. And I'm so thrilled to dive into your story, your journey, and your wisdom today. Can you share with us a little bit of kind of your own version of a bio and a backstory? You have a fascinating journey. Give us a little background into who you are and what you've been through.
Okay. Well, I could do it by peppy heart, but I won't. I grew up in a little village or town called Rātahi by Mount Rupehu. My mother and father are both brown skin, and I was born very pink with white hair and blue eyes. It caused a lot of grief. So right from the start, I was considered different. But I've always had people around me who answer questions of a curious boy. And so all the way growing up, I was so curious. I just wanted more information, more knowledge. And years have gone by, studied, blah, blah, blah. Had 3 strokes while I was studying at university and ended up on a wheelchair. And a friend gave me a book. He says, read this. And I started reading it, and I threw it out the window when I got to a certain point in the book. I was so pissed. I was just like, how dare this writer write this? And he rang me a couple of days later. He says, have you read it yet? I says, nah, I threw it out. He says, go and get it and read it. It took me 3 goes to read this book. I get to the same point when it's Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yeah.
And she says basically that people who have had strokes have come to a point in their life where they can't change anything and it'd be easier to die. You know, I want to live. And the truth is, when I actually got out of my pig-headedness, was that actually I had chosen to die. It was easier to die than to live the life I was living and still hadn't gotten enough of my childhood and the stuff from the past. So I had to look at that. And there were some really hard decisions I had to make. One of them was to separate from my wife and knowing that I was going to lose my children. And my friend who gave me the book said, Greg, why are you still there? And I says, well, I'll lose my children. I've got 4 kids. I love them. And he says, if you die, your kids won't have a father. If you leave and choose a different life, they can come back to you. And I said, you promise? And he says, I promise. It was 5 long years. My wife worked for children and young persons. She made it that I couldn't see my kids without supervision, and that was just too hard for me and the kids. So I said, okay, when my kids are allowed to come and see me, they're welcome. 5 years later, my kids started choosing differently. I created a different life. And in that process of that 5 years, I got out of my wheelchair. I started running. There was nothing physically I couldn't do. I could get tired. I even learned to talk. I had lost my speech and was more mumble, mumble, mumble. But as I learned to speak, I also developed quite an interesting accent. When I was living in a town called Danneberg, there were people there from Holland, and they'd meet me for the first time and start talking to me in Dutch.
Yeah.
I said, no, 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 I'm a Kiwi. No. And they said, no, you sound Dutch. The man from South Africa was trying to work out which province I was from. It's taken a long time. And still, you know, there's that, I could just step out of this body and piss off, you know. But it's like I found a new way to find joy in my life and in my world. I have a fantastic relationship with my kids. I actually hear from them more now that I'm living in Vienna in Austria than I did when I was living in Dannevirke and then in Hamilton. So, you know, how cool is that? Yeah, that's my bio. But I was massaging. I did training at massage school, which also helped me to get out of my wheelchair. It woke my body up. And I was traveling to Australia and I got invited to massage a teacher there. And he invited me to go with him to Costa Rica because he had back pain and he needed to be able to teach. So I went. And there I got invited to come to Austria to teach what it is I do. And basically, I haven't gone back to New Zealand. I'm just here. I've been for holidays. So now I travel around Europe, Germany, France for a while, and Hungary. And this month, I'm actually off to Russia for 20 days. So, you know, it's like, it's a lot of fun, but I'm teaching what I do and my outlook on life, which is change your mind.
Change your mind to change your life. Well, we are really honored to have you here today. What a massive journey you've been on. I mean, mobility, you know, it's something that so many of us take for granted. I was just chatting with somebody the other day about how one of my daughter's friends, one of her best five friends at school actually had an accident about 8 months ago, 9 months ago. She is in a wheelchair, but she's doing amazing things and her mindset is incredible. So I'd love to dedicate this interview to her and hoping that some of your insights can help her and many other people, but also people like me. I mean, I have no mobility issues. I've had back pain in the past, which is why I'm so grateful for being able to take every step that I take anyway. But yep. I think everyone can gain something from what you've got to share today.
Absolutely.
When you do teach, what kind of things do you teach? Like, can you give us an example and teach us something today? When you stand in front of the room with, I don't know, 20 people, 200 people, what are the things that really resonate, that really land with people?
I started the basics, which was my story. And I tell them about a nurse who woke me up one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning just to make sure I was still breathing. And they do these 2 hourly checks. And this nurse said to me, Greg, how do you do this? And I couldn't speak, so I wrote, what? And she goes, before your eyes were open, you were smiling. And I wrote, I woke up. Each night I was going to sleep not knowing if I was going to wake up in the morning. And I learned that gratitude is the greatest gift we can give the world. It's also the greatest gift we can give to ourselves. And this is what I tell people in the classes. I say, you know, when you focus on all the things that are bad in your life, that's all you'll ever see. If you, as a woman, don't trust men because they're all assholes, because you got abused by one as a girl, then that's all you'll ever see. Mm. But when you're willing to see the kindness in some people, when you're willing to be grateful just for the clothes you wear or the nice house or bed you sleep in, what happens is you start to change your viewpoints on life and on the world. And it's really amazing to watch how when the biggest class I had was 100 people, 104 if you counted two babies and two dogs that were snuck into the room. But we had, you know, it was amazing to watch these people practice how to be grateful. I mean, how do you make your body grateful? You change your focus. How do you change your focus? Think about it. Really think about it. Think about something you're truly grateful for. I had a class of 50 people on Zoom and they're all like this, life is so hard. And one lady says, oh, I woke up this morning, I can't shake this bad feeling I've got. I says, what are you focusing on? Oh, this is tough, it's tough. And all the others are nodding. And I says, so think about something that you're really grateful for. And I said, really think about it so that your body starts to vibrate with the joy of that thought. Your body doesn't see yesterday or tomorrow. It just sees the moment now and what your mind is focused on. And she started to think about it. And I says, body, show me the joy. And all of a sudden, 50 faces lit up and smiled. And the lady says, is it that easy? I said, well, you can make it harder if you like, but it really is that easy. You know, you can, I cracked, I broke three spineless processes on my vertebrae, falling down some icy steps here a couple of winters ago. And they said they had to move me, and they had to actually focus on something that I'm grateful for, just so they could move me without me screaming and punching somebody.
Right.
And I'm kind of a big guy, so I would have hurt somebody. I didn't want to do that. You know, and it's like when we change our focus, there's nothing we can't accomplish. When we choose joy and when we choose gratitude, then what happens is people around us change. They either become grateful too and have joyful, or they're pissed off because they can't cope with your happiness. You can't pretend to be happy, but you can choose to be happy. But choosing to be happy is choosing where you focus. You can be annoyed at the neighbor's music, or you can turn the stereo up, or you can go out. You don't have to stay there and put up with it. You can change your focus. Or you can actually go, actually, I could dance to that and enjoy it. You know, and that's what I learned in getting out of my wheelchair. I would fall over and get so angry with myself because I'm falling over again. And my body would go rigid. I couldn't move. I'm stuck here for an hour.
On the floor?
On the floor.
Mm.
You know, and I'd have to relax. The moment I thought, excuse the expression, but the moment I thought that and just let go, my body relaxed and I could get up. So when I learned to let go the wrongness of me and me being an idiot and falling over all the time, the monkey stood up and walked. And, you know, it's like my speech started to improve. Everything improved. My left hand, I can use it. This hung limp down at my side. I had to stick in my pocket when I was tired. And this is what I teach people. And when I watch them and they get that space of that gratitude and the real joy, they really change their lives. I've got people who were single and wanting a man but didn't trust any man, and suddenly I'm getting photographs. Oh, guess what? I just met a man. We're getting married next month. can they come? You know, one young lady who said, oh, my dream job's in Norway, but I don't know what to do. I said, well, why don't you just feel the joy of actually having a job? 2 weeks. She was in Norway. Got the job.
I got to jump in there because that's so important. Because what I would have thought when you say focus, I would go more to focus on the vision, like focus, like see yourself in Norway. You know, what does it feel like when you're in Norway? No, you're saying focus on what you already have. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So important.
When you focus on what you already have, you're not, you know, I put it this way. When you focus on joy and gratitude, there's no room for judgment. There's no room for wrongness. And so the mind is an interesting thing. When you, you know, it really focuses on one thing at a time when you truly focus. And Napoleon Hill put it, see it already happened. So it's not about feeling the joy of getting the key to your new car and putting it in the ignition. It's feeling the joy of having the car for a year already and still getting in and feeling in love with your car as you drive home. Or meeting a nice guy or girl, you know, and you that's fine. But what would happen if you were to look, when you're looking for somebody you want to live with, and you feel the joy of having somebody in your life, and you're coming home after 5 years of being with this person and still feeling the joy? Now, what happens is the universe, the world, God, whatever you call it, goes, okay, so you want this to last longer than just 10 minutes of sex. Let's see what we can do for you. And as long as you're willing to follow, as Paulo Coelho put it, the omens, the signs, then you will do exactly what you want to create. And it happens. Years and years ago, I told my children's mother that I would be teaching classes, and she just goes, idiot, pipe dream, you know. My mother even told me I was an idiot and that's just a pipe dream. Guess what I'm doing? My pipe dream, you know, and it's like I've got amazing people around me that support me. They also have changed their lives. And I've got people that I can't get rid of in classes. They come to every class because they just want more of that space, more of that gratitude, more of that joy. And it's a a space where they can just be themselves.
Well, I was thinking about that. The energy in the room, when everyone in the room is coming into their own like gratitude moment of something in their life that they're grateful for. And like you said, when people do that, do it now, listeners. Think of something, bring it to mind. I always close my eyes. Bring to mind something you're so grateful for in your life, big or small. And you feel that energy shift in your body. Imagine a room full of people. Well, even us doing it now, mm-hmm. the effect yeah. of that, the collective effect of that.
It's incredible.
Talk to me a little bit about that, the impact of many people, right? You've got one person yep. doing it, many people at the same time.
Well, I stood on a stage and I got 100 people to stand in a circle and to look at the person in front of them or beside them and just feel grateful for that person and then receive the gratitude from the person on the left and sending that gratitude to the person on the right. Within about 30 seconds, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. Everybody's body heated up. We had to open the windows. You know, it was just like, this is too hot in here. We need to open up. And then I said, okay, just give somebody a hug. And they ran around hugging everybody. And for me, it was an amazing experience. There's one guy in the class, and I really love him. He's the sort of face that only a mother could love, okay? And people would look at him sideways and just sort of give him space. And he's used to this, being sort of shunned off to the side in classes. And I when we did the circle and just created the gratitude, and I said, okay, now hug. I watched two of the most beautiful girls in the class race each other to give him a hug. You know, and I've got a photo of him somewhere where he's looking at me directly in the camera with tears on his face as he's getting hugged from these two girls. Mm. And it's just this moment of wonder. And that's so indelibly burned into the back of my skull that it's not a scene I'll ever forget. That energy in this space literally changes people. Really, it just opens you up to something more. And I do it to animals too. This is where we met. I did a post about horses. Working
yes,
with a class of and
that's
horses.
Right. That's
and
right.
You commented on this. And you know, I when I walked in with this herd the first time I met it, the lady said, oh, bring you the horse. I said, No. Will you go see the horse? Let her have the choice. And we were 50 feet from her. And she was eating hay. And she lifted her head up, saw us, stopped what she was doing, and walked towards us. And the lady goes, ooh. This is interesting. So would you like me to work on you or work with you? And the horse kept walking towards us. Like, come on, then, let's go. And she followed us all the way around to where we were going to work on it. The horse showed me what she wanted. She showed me what she needed stretching. She showed me which in what sequence. Literally, she was stamp her foot, stamp her foot, stamp her foot. And the lady said, you'll never stretch this back. And she lifted the back leg and asked me to stretch them. So we stretched them two different ways. And then she got me to do it again, go around a circle the second time. And the last time I picked up a leg and I started to stretch, so how's that? And she just leaned on me. Okay, you want more? So I picked up more and hop back, went clack, 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 clack. And the owners went, oh, we heard that. I said, yeah. And I let her down and she gave me a lick and she gave me a cuddle, the horse, not the owner. And then she just gave a shiver and she was done, you know. But I wasn't going there to tell her what was wrong. I was going there grateful for the chance to see her. And because there was no judgments, no wrongness in her, she was willing to show me what needed to be fixed or sorted. They have a horse there that bites people. Literally, will just walk up behind you and bite you. It came and asked me for a cuddle. She had another horse that just doesn't like men. And during the class, I got a cuddle. You know,
what do you think that's about? Do you think that they know, like they sense your energy? They obviously sense energy way more deeply
absolutely.
Than we do.
Yeah.
Or they know that you're there with to help and to heal
them. Intent. Yeah. It's about all that. It's our intention. Now, as children, we knew people's intentions. We felt them and we would run away or we felt trapped, yeah?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as we grew older, we would say, you're angry, and people go, no, I'm not angry. And so we would make ourselves wrong for speaking up. So we learn to shut up. Then we learn to turn our awareness off. But horses don't learn that. They either, or animals, dogs. I have dogs when I'm at the festivals that will just drag their owners, just come and sit beside me. the owners are apologizing. We're really sorry. This is embarrassing. Said, no. I just said hello to you, puppy, and then you can go on your way. And, even walking through St. Petersburg in Russia or Vladivostok, pets look at me and come over. Babies will look at me in the supermarket and go, leaning out of the chair to try and see where I am. And we're taught as Maoris that to be a man, you've got to be tough. You're bad to do a haka on anybody. That's not true. To be a man, you have to be the protector, the nurturer, but a kindness. You need to be able to nurture your children just as well as your wife can. You need to be able to nurture your wife. I mean, believe me, I can be the destroying angel when I want to be. I'll run through a wall to hurt somebody if they hurt one of my own. But at the same time, I've been seen carrying two babies, one in each arm, they're asleep, and I'm still teaching class,
I feel like we all have within us that warrior side as well as the nurturer side, as well as the other sides, which, the motivational side of ourselves. Yeah. But it's so good for people. It's just a great reminder for us all. Today's topic, creating change. So I imagine most people listening, I'm going to speak for myself. Nat, would you like some change in your body and your life? Yes, please. Right? Okay. Yeah. Well, to do that by changing your mind, and what you're talking about today is mindset. By changing your mindset and your beliefs, right? What are some beliefs that a lot of people have that actually limit them from creating the change that they desire?
I have to exercise every day. I have to run 10 miles. I have to cycle. I have to pump iron. It's not true. I have to eat all this healthy food. Not true. I have to limit what I eat. Not true. My doctor here in Austria thinks I go to the gym and work out. I'm the laziest bugger on the planet. Last time I was in the gym was in 1993, just after my stroke, when they kicked me out because I was at risk. And I only went in to shoot basketball, but I was still not allowed in the gym at the university in Waikato. That was the last time. But, I'm still fairly healthy.
Something that stands out to me, what you just said in those three examples, I have to. And one thing I'm really big on is languaging, and specifically the words just, need, and should. Like, I just need to do this. Yeah, I need to do this, or I should do that. And I feel like those words drain us. Like, I always talk about, up your brave and get out of the should zone, which is, right? So, how can people make a shift if they're in that, if they're in that pattern of saying, I have to do this and I have to do that, or I should? What can they do instead?
Ask the question, what is that? What is that I have to? What is that I need to? What is it I should do? If you're doing these things out of obligation, the energy of obligation will destroy what the benefits that you create, trying to create. If you were to, I've read a book, and it's called The Yoga of Eating. And in this, the man is writing, he's saying that you can have a really piece of healthy food there in front of you, but if you've decided that this food will make you sick, it will. And if you have this piece of unhealthy food in there, you're hungry, and you eat this food with gratitude, it's good for you.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. I've been told, I drink too much coffee. And I said, well, my body likes it. There are days when I wake up, I don't drink coffee all day because I just don't want it. Mm-hmm. And at other times, I'll have 10 espressos before lunch. But and sometimes I'll make a coffee, I'll put the cup under the machine, walk away. Shit, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I've got a cold coffee sitting there. Oh, I'll drink it anyway. But, it's like, what would happen if we actually ask our bodies, instead of forcing our bodies, what is it you want?
Yes.
For me, this year has been the journey the last little while, is to invite my body to change what was happening. I was, I used to be 6XL shirts. I was 145 kilos.
You know, I'm 50 kg. So I was like one third of you.
Okay. Well, I'm now 120, just thereabouts. And I came to Europe. I was 124, and then we started going up. I started going up to 132, and it was just like, okay, Gregory, what are we doing here? And basically, I was comfort eating. So I said, okay, what am I comforting about? I'm in a crazy relationship again. Okay, time to exit, stage right. And I'm in a flat. I'm really quite happy. I eat when I want. I cook what I want. And I enjoy what I cook. And now I'm back down to 120. And my body is fitter. I'm happier. My blood pressure is now under control. My cardiologist thinks, well, what are you doing? The medication is working. I haven't told them yet that I'm not taking any. But, you know, it's like, body, what is it you want? Body, show me the joy.
Yeah. And I mean, there's two things there that I'm hearing, right? Intuitive eating. So checking in with your body, not like I always eat this and I should eat that. And even people that go, you know, when people go, oh, I really shouldn't have this piece of cake, or I feel really bad, or I feel guilty that I had it. I'm like, just eat it or don't, but don't feel bad about it. Because I'm so into empowered choices, and that trickles down to food and everything. So there's partly people, you know, having intuitive eating. That's a great thing to do. And the gratitude, which I've heard of before, and I'm not in the practice of doing it, but thank you for the reminder. You know, even when you have a plate of food in front of you, before you dive in, and it can be a prayer, but just energetically sending gratitude to the food and the nourishment that it's going to give your body. And when you do that,
absolutely, yeah. Right? When I was in a relationship where I cooked food for the household because I love to cook, and I usually don't like other people's cooking. You know, it's my problem. And I would cook this food and I'd just watch people just mindlessly eat it fast and go. And my partner would, why is this all, this is so, and she would always find something wrong with the food. They put on weight, I stayed the same because I ate my food with thoughtful gratitude. I'm grateful for this food. And now I cook for friends because they're grateful and they love the food. And I'm happy to do that always. But it's like, what if we did everything in our lives from gratitude? Even holding somebody's hand walking down the street. What if walking down the street, somebody looks at you? What would happen if you look back and just feel gratitude for that person seeing you? The world changes. It's my favorite game when I'm in Moscow or in Vienna in the pedestrian zone. Is to walk down and catch people's eye and smile and go, hi. And they don't know what to do with themselves, especially the Viennese. The Russians go, you're not from here, are you? Where are you from?
And I know we're on audio, but for those of you that can, I invite you to check out our the replay page or social media. You can see a picture of Greg. So Greg is a bald man. He, as he says, he's probably quite tall, you know, for a guy like you that looks kind of tough walking down the street and then giving us this gorgeous grin. I mean, it shifts people's mindset and it's maybe not what they're expecting.
It really rattles the eggs.
A beautiful grin and a mustache to go with it as well.
Yep.
All right. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh. We would love to hear your thoughts. I'm talking to Greg Briers. He's located at the moment in Vienna. And we're talking about creating change in our body and life by changing our mind. It sounds so simple. And what I feel like from this discussion so far is it kind of is.
Yeah. We make it as hard as we want. And the hardness is usually our resistance to receiving the things we're actually asking for. You know, so many people
hang on. The hardness is usually our resistance to receiving the things
we are asking for.
We're asking for. Okay.
Yeah. We wouldn't want more money, but actually, in our minds, we've decided a long time ago that we don't deserve. We're not worthy. And that's just bullshit. It really is wrong and it's a lie. we're born into this reality to receive everything we ask for, but we have to be willing to receive it. It's all there. All we have to do is go, thank you. Napoleon Hill spells this out really clearly. Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, you know, Bruce Lipton tells us that our bodies and our sickness are the result of the environment we are. And it's not just the environment we live in, but the environment in here. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest one.
The environment of the mind.
Yeah. And the mind is a useful tool, but it's a terrible master. Okay. When we, there are people out there that teach, oh, you got to destroy the mind, lose the mind. It's not true. You use the mind. You can direct the mind. I mean, we wouldn't have this laptop that I'm talking to you on or the lights or anything else in the house if somebody hadn't used their mind to create it. But there are people out there that go mindless, the automatic mode, where the mind's just controlling everything they do. There's no thought. That's when it's dangerous. But when we can learn to use our mind to create beyond what's imaginable and into the unimaginable in our lives, then we start to live that, especially when you start to feel it real, as Napoleon Hill would say, and feel the joy of what that would be like, you know, 10, 5 years' time. I always say, well, how would that feel in a year's time? How would that feel to have this in 5 years' time? Oh, wow, cool. You know?
So I'm going to invite our listeners, and I'm going to invite myself as well, to, because I've heard this before, you know, about the gratitude. But what's really landing for me is just to do it all the time, not just like
all the time,
now and then,
not just once.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got it. You wake up. Wow, thank you. Wayne Dyer would wake up, put his feet on the floor, and say thank you. He woke up.
I mean, I often do it. I say, thank you for the magnificent outcome. But that's, I usually do that when there's something happening and I don't want something bad to happen. So like if my daughter's on a road trip and I'll be like, and I'll visualize her totally like happy. Oh, she used to do cycle racing. And I would be like, thank you for the magnificent outcome, not of her winning, but of her finishing the race happy and healthy and unscathed.
It's
but
safe.
That's different. And that's different than actually really feeling into the gratitude in the moment for what you have. Which we can all do, and it's free.
Yeah, and it's easy. You just got to choose it every day until it becomes such an unconscious habit that you're just feeling that gratitude all day.
All right, let us know how you go. 2057 on the text or inbox at realitycheck.radio. Let us know if you do this already, or if you want to commit to doing it, you can let us know and we'll keep you accountable. Hey, before we get on to my wrap-up questions, Greg, can you let me know what is the pulse of the people in Austria at the moment? Are people waking up? Truth, reality? What's the vibe?
Well, it's such a mixing pot here. You've got Vienna with the typical Viennese attitude, but like the Brits, really, the stiff upper
quite
lip,
proper,
and they don't look
quite
proper. Yeah. But they also have this practiced grumpiness. First time we went to a restaurant, I almost stood up to slap a writer because he was just being rude. Until my partner said, no, this is how they are. This is practice. They do this. This is deliberate. Well, if they do that to me again, I'm going to slap them. But there, people are waking up all around Europe. I know in Russia, there's a huge shift in people. They're all searching everywhere. In Hungary, there's huge festivals that I go to there every year where thousands of people come. And there's some excitement and so many joyful people. I was there just last month for one, and we had the big rains come through, big storms during the festival, and it was freezing. Everyone was wearing jackets. I'm still walking around in their t-shirt, but that's just me. But I talk to the people that like the volunteers that help, and they're just so happy. They're sleeping, they're not freezing their butts off, but they get up in the morning, they're still joyful, they're at Everness. Wow, they're meeting all these people, it's really nice. I mean, how cool is that? You know, there is a shift. And as we started willing to see that shift, it will continue to grow. If we refuse to see it as happening, then all we'll see is doom and gloom.
Okay.
And that's what we create.
Exactly. And then on that note, okay, so even for me, because I'm quite impatient for change, for me to be grateful for what I do see, even though others can't see it, for me to really feel, right? Is this what I'm taking from today? It's like you said, it's what you focus on. If I'm just focusing on, oh, but they don't know about this yet. No one's talking about that. It's like, no, Nat, don't do that. Focus on what I'm grateful for that has been revealed or now understood. And of course, so grateful as I am for the incredible friends that I've gained in the last 4 years and the depth of the relationships and my clients who are on the same page as me. And it's so much fun. So I can really lean into that gratitude, but more gratitude for the things that are being revealed instead of me being impatient.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And the more that happens, more will happen. And the more you will see happen, the more you will create.
Yeah.
You know, it truly is what we give our focus to. Even the Bible says it, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, hello? So think about what's good for you. Think about what's good in the world. The more you're willing to see it, you know, the more kind men you will see, the more kind women you will see, you know, the more joy. And you find more and more reasons to have joy in your life. What happens is people then see their joy shine from you, literally. And they will go, who are you? Can you tell me a little bit more of what you do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have people do that to me in hotels in Russia. You know, that who are you? You're different. And yeah, I'm Kiwi. No. You're different. I got accosted by a guy in Hungary in a bar. I went to get a burger at this bar. And he made me feel petite. I'm 6'2", 120 kilos, so I'm not, you know, skinny. And he just made me feel so tiny. He was ex-military. And he spun around and came over to me. Who are you? What are you? I said, what do you mean? I'm just a Kiwi boy. I'm just here for a burger. No. I felt you walk into the room. What are you? And then he took me for an hour about his life. And before he left, he hugged me and cried on my shoulder.
Wow.
And the barman just went, he's never done that. And the barman messaged me 2 days later. He says, he hasn't touched cocaine in 2 days. What did you do to him? Nothing. I just listened.
Mm.
You know, and but I was grateful for him. You know, and he felt that gratitude. And, you know, I have so many experiences that I could talk about. I could talk for days. And each one of these experiences makes my eyes leak. Each one of these experiences fills my heart with joy. You know?
Do you think part of it, Greg, I got to jump in because like you have such a profound effect on people. Do you think part of your ability to be consistently grateful is because of your incident, you know, the three strokes and the paralysis? Oh, do you absolutely. Think that's part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was surrounded by people that taught me to be grateful, not and be grateful for what you got. That happened too.
Yeah.
But it was more, there were people in my life wherever, whatever was going on in my life, when I got to hard points, where even at 8 years old, I chose I would rather die. I actually walked out in the country to die. And I lay down on the side of the road and I woke up and I'm back in the backyard at my house thinking, how did I get home? I don't remember. But, you know, there were people in my life that the universe put in place that would give me an armpit that I could cuddle into or a safe place that this angry boy growing up could just go and breathe. And I am ever grateful for all of those places and moments and those people. But when I had my strokes, that was my wake-up call. That was like, Gregory, it's time. You have to start doing differently now.
Yeah.
And I watched my children. You know, they would go to school during the day, not knowing whether dad was going to be at home, in hospital, or dead when they got home. And they would come home, they're grateful to see me. My daughters spent time teaching me to talk by teaching me to sing.
Beautiful.
Yeah. when they're willing to look at that and just feel that gratitude, and you know, we all have these moments. I don't care who you are. If you don't have them, you shouldn't be dead, because you would have chosen it. And I've known a lot of people that have done that. And, you know, I don't judge them as wrong for that either.
So you're saying we all have these moments of gratitude within us. It's just a matter of calling on them. And that will shift. That will shift our life. All right. I've got to wrap it up, Greg, here. We're racing the clock, but I'm loving our discussion. Let me know. Let all of us know, if you were to truly up your brave even more in 2024, what would you do or not do?
To up my brave, I would start asking for more people in class. Not for me, but I'd feel a sense of urgency to see more people, to actually reach out to more people. But for me personally, to learn to listen more to my body, to understand that my body has a wisdom that my mind doesn't have, but my mind's starting to catch up with my body. And that when I follow my heart, things go smoothly. So as again, I'm still learning too. I'm 65 in a few days' time, and I'm still learning about me. I'm still learning about Gregory.
Good. Well, and I think it is a lifelong endeavor, isn't it?
Absolutely. The day you think you've got it all done, you might as well lie down.
What is coming up for you in the coming months? Are you staying in Vienna? Will you be traveling? Do you have any workshops or anything that some of my listeners can attend? Anything online? How can we find
you? Well, at the moment, I've got, I go to Russia on about the 24th. I don't come around from there till the middle of November. I have a class in Hungary as well that I've been going. I use Hakka to teach people about how they can change how they feel. Because, you know, you do a Hakka for gratitude, you do a Hakka for anger, then you go back to have gratitude, and suddenly you can't find the anger anymore. Amazing stuff. So it becomes a choice and it becomes very clear. At the moment, it's just, yeah, I'm trying to create classes. I tried to create a couple of classes in New Zealand, but that didn't happen. So I'm happier just to keep creating around Europe. If people want to come to Europe, you're very welcome. I'll even find you a place to stay that's nice and comfortable.
Where can they find you online? Do you have a website? I know you and I are connected on Facebook.
Yeah. Just realhealthclinic.com, I think it is. Or they can just, there's a German one, but you can translate using Google, is the alchemyofthebody.eu. And okay. If you go there, there's a whole lot of stuff that's happening. There's lots of blogs, stories about people, their stories. And also, if there's a class coming up, then that's where it'll be advertised.
Amazing. All right. Any final words to wrap things up before we go?
Can I just read something really quick? It's a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. This was read to me by a mentor and teacher when I was 14 years old, and it's been my driving force ever since. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. And my target is to find that one person every day. And I look, and I'm, even if it's just to say hi and smile at somebody, it changes somebody's world.
Thank you so much, Greg, for everything you've shared with us today. So many reminders, and really help. The main takeaway for me is it's so simple, you know, changing your mind in those micro moments. Yeah. And as I like to say, catching yourself before you go into judgment. Absolutely. Or negative. It's been incredible to talk to you today. And congratulations on the massive journey that you've had and all the people's lives you've impacted as well. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so much.
And thank you,
everyone.
Have a
wonderful night.
Thank you. Yeah, you have a wonderful morning. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.